You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
How do you think that, because that song on the last tour, and I guess on the tours that preceded it, was always the encore, because that was just after all the years, after Refugee, Here Comes My Girl, you name it, that was still the song. That song without being a single, how did it take on that life of its own?
You know, it was just, it was an iconic rock song that just touched people's hearts. And Tom had this ability to say so much and evoke so many deep, true feelings in all of us. And American Girl, just, you know, the influence from the Byrds, you know, Roger McGuinn once said, did I write that song?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But Tom didn't rip, he didn't rip Roger off, but American Girl just had this ability to just lay it on the line about a girl, you know, who got treated wrong. And anyway, it was just one of those songs that will live on forever and ever and ever.
Well, you know, his gift, I think, when you break it down to the very basics, there's nothing more attractive than honesty. And so many of his songs were just honest. You know, and they came from the heart, and they were songs that had inspired him, from various reasons, and, you know, some that were bad things, some that were good things. But his inspiration, I mean, this guy, you know, lived and breathed this stuff around the clock. He wrote and wrote and wrote and recorded and recorded.
Yep.
And just the endless stories about how he wrote The Waiting, and he sat for a week and played the same lick over and over again and could not find the words. And finally, he sang The Waiting is the hardest part, and there was the song right there. And there are just so many stories like that. And then when he went in to record, you know, by himself, it was he and Mike Campbell, I guess Benmont played some stuff, but he did a tune called Free Fallen, and they all hated it. And so there was some, you know, discord over the years. There was a bass player change. There was a drummer change. And I can't think of any band on earth. You know, the foundation of any band is the drummer and the bass player. And they somehow changed out both of those dudes and kept going. That's how good they were.
Mike Campbell is, I mean, it has a lot to do with that.
Yeah,
Mike Campbell is
does.
One of the most incredible guitar players
underrated.
I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. He's one of the
underrated. Exactly.
He is just something else. There's just so many stories, and you know, when you look at it, and we had this talk before, when you look at Tom Petty's career, I just can't imagine anybody having a more complete you know, life and a career. He had much more to do, I think, but I think that he wore himself out. But the guy had, hit after hit with his own bands, and he had a chance to go back and do two albums with Mudcrutch. He did two albums by himself. He produced Johnny Cash. He produced Del Shannon. He had the Wilburys. I mean, what more can you ask for? And then,
you know, Tom, yeah, go ahead.
And then this, you know, 40 years come and he goes out and does 53 gigs. He's sick with a broken hip, refuses to cancel gigs. And that just shows you the heart of the ultimate heartbreaker. It's an incredible story.
He did it for his fans, and I can't overestimate him or over talk about how his fans loved this guy to death, and they still do.
Yep, I know.
And he was a perfectionist. He wanted every album to be better than the last.
Yep.
He wanted every tour, every concert to be better than the last. And in the hundreds and hundreds of shows I've seen and you've seen, I've never seen a bad show.
No, I never saw them do anything bad. Even if they were under the influence of, you know, anything, it didn't matter. They were pros, and they didn't play, you know, messed up or anything.
No, never.
And they had their, you know, they had their moments of fun, but it was the mid-80s, and there were some issues there, but that's not really important because everybody has had their own issues. And he overcame every damn one of them.
And
the times in the mid-80s when you and I were there and were watching – him, you know, at his home studio, and that whole album, yep. and that whole thing was a strange experience. Jimmy Iovine produced a few tracks, and then somehow they got Dave Stewart involved, which I'm not sure that the band was too jazzed about that. We had a big party one night with a bunch of radio people, which was very unusual for a guy like Tom Petty to let 20 people into his house to hear this record. It was just a trip. And then I think that you and I spent the night there because the next morning we were at his breakfast table having coffee and whatever else.
I think it was the Southern Accents album.
That's exactly what it was. During the very final mixes on that record, and I'm going to play this song after we get done. We were at work, and he called and asked us to come by because they had finished this song that I'll play here in a bit. Don't Come Round Here No More. And we sat there, and he was across the glass watching our reaction because it was a very unusual and not a typical song by Tom Petty. And it I think remains to this day my favorite. And I have watched him on YouTube since October the 2nd. I have watched that thing 50 times in concert.
Easily.
It's just, and I just cannot stop watching this stuff. And it has revived my interest in some of the older albums. And I think that everybody kind of feels the same way. You don't want to let him go.
And that's the
hard part.
I've done the same thing you. I've gone back and listened to songs that I haven't listened to in a long time. And that's really helped me cope with what happened. Because it's hard to wrap your head around the whole thing.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It is sad. And we know the circumstances, which I'm not going to get into because I do not... want to attach the stigma that doesn't belong on him. He was sick. He was in pain. And so all of that crap we're going to skip. Tell the story that you told me, and this book will be out in the spring, and we'll probably have you back on again to go over some of these things. Me and Tom Petty, John Scott, it's online on Facebook. We'll put it on our Facebook page. The story you told me about, you were at home one night, and... you had on either a college radio station or public radio or something, and they were asking for people to come in and be DJs, and they wanted you to bring somebody to interview if you had the guts to show up. So you're sitting home, and you go, what the hell? Tell the story.
So it was about 3 in the morning. I just couldn't sleep, and that's when good ideas come to me about 3 in the morning. But Yeah, they said, you know, any volunteers, you want to come over? I called them right away, and the guy said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm in the music business, and do you have radio experience? Yes, I have radio experience. And he said, well, do you have any rock star friends? I said, I got a few. He said, well, can you bring in one and do an air check? I said, sure. So first person I called, of course, was Tom. He's always eager to do something.
At 3 in the morning.
And he agreed to go with me. I picked him up, and it's hard, kind of strange to go, you know, I'm going to go pick up Tom Petty and drive him somewhere. And so we got in the car. Well, we picked him up at his house, and we did our customary ritual of going outside and got to the point. And anyway, we drive to the campus. I'm on the campus, and we're looking around. All of a sudden, police lights are in the back behind me.
Uh-oh.
And I was scared shitless. I was scared. Sorry. And I said, Tom, throw that thing out the window. And I pulled up, and we were on the campus. It wasn't the police. It was the campus police. And he said, he walked up the car and said, hey, boys, where are you guys going? The radio station. What's that smell? Patchouli. Who's that guy over there? Tom Petty. Yeah, I said, Tom Petty walked around the car. Tom rolled down his window. He said, I'll be damned. Tom Petty, I'm a fan of yours, buddy. Could you give me an autograph?
Unbelievable.
And this Barney Fife campus cop led us with the lights going to the radio station. And Tom went inside, and the guy, before I even did the air check, the guy said to me, this is Tom Petty, and this is... you're hired. We don't even need an air show.
You know, every time I was around Tom, it smelled like he had a very tiny skunk in his pocket. It was very strange. yeah, that's a great story. And we have to get off of here, and we could do this forever. I just love talking to you about this, and we had some great times with him.
Oh, my God, we had great times. We were so fortunate to meet a guy. You were there, and you know a lot of the stories, and he's just an American guy.
You know, he is. As I watched and I recall just some of the moments, and I have great respect for people. And when you watch on YouTube, the interview with he and Gary Shandling, Tom was a guy that he was a man of few words, and he spoke when he had something to say, and he did not like small talk, and he did not suffer fools, gladly, as Mark Twain said. He spoke when he had something to say, and and you can see that when you watch him talk. That 4-hour film that was done some years ago is just fantastic, and it shows him. In summary, when all this went down and you and I talked, and it was we were all in shock. You were one of the fortunate few who went to the ceremony and the service. It was Dana, his wife, and his daughters, and the band members, and a couple of people. What was that like? Was it sad? Was it celebratory? How can you describe what that was like?
You know, it wasn't sad. People were just walking around hugging each other. There was nobody got up and spoke. It was at a restaurant in Malibu, and it was more of just a hug fest. You hugged Mike Campbell. Cameron Crowe was there. Jimmy Iovine was there. Stevie Nicks was there. And just people who wanted to remember Tom the way he was.
Yeah.
And it was a moving night, really a moving night. And as you walk out the door, Dana, his wife, had put together 15 songs that were his favorites on a thumb drive and handed it to you as you left. Mm. And it was just one of those things that just took me a while to comprehend. I didn't really comprehend it for 3 months, to be honest with you.
It is really hard, and it's one of those things that will never leave you. And in the past 2 or 3 years, we lost David Bowie. That, of course, was a shock. You know, Glenn Frey of the Eagles, and you see people like Scott Weiland, and there's always an impact. But there was something about Tom Petty that was, he was every man. He was an American dude. That loved music, and you could tell it, and he cared about it. You know, one of the things that I will take away from this book that Warren Zanes wrote, he mentioned that, you know, Tom was going to a therapy at some points in his life, and we've all been there. But after he wrote, I guess he had already released the album, Wildflowers. And the therapist heard the song, and he told Tom that he had written that song about himself. And I thought, you know, and I went back and I heard those lyrics, and the guy said, "You wrote that song for you." And that really struck TP as being very poignant and being the truth.
Absolutely. He was a truthful guy, a
very
funny
honest
guy.
Yeah, he was
a loving guy.
Yeah.
He never forgot who took care of him.
Yeah, and I know that you saw him before the last show. He told you that he was in a lot of pain. And then he gave you a shout-out from the stage that you somehow captured on your phone. That must have been a moment of chills that you'll never forget.
I almost fell out of my chair because I had no idea it was coming.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, he never forgot the people who helped him on the way up.
John, I love you, and I thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to the book being out, meandtompetty.com. It's on Facebook as well.
TomPettyandMe.com, okay.
I'm sorry, TomPettyandMe.com, and you still have some friends around here that have emailed today, and they'll be buying the book. You can pre-order it now, but you're going to shoot for March or April, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, spring of 2018.
All right.
And every book will be autographed and personalized. And that's the one thing I couldn't do with Warren's book when we hit Amazon. You can't get a Warren Zane signature, and that's what I wanted.
Huh.
And fans have asked me to, if I would do that.
To sign his book?
Before the book came out.
Oh, your
no.
book. Okay. All right, man. I thank you so much. And
hey, Drake, it's been a pleasure. I love you guys.
Man, thank you so
love
much.
Love you for a long time. We've known each other for a long time.
Yes, sir.
And it's always been a blast.
John Scott, I love you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk soon, my friend.
You know it, buddy.
All right, bye-bye. This is the song that I will play. We worked in the Valley someplace. I don't know where it was. And they were wrapping up the album that we discussed, and Tom called John and said, y'all come by here. I want you to hear this. And we had heard pieces of it over the course of months because they spent a long time on this album. And so we went to his house, and he and Mike Campbell were in the mixing room at this giant board. And he said, here's the big song. This is it. We're done with it. And this is what we heard. John Scott, the new book is called Tom Petty and Me. It'll be on Facebook. And here is a little journey into the brain of one of the great ones, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, into our break.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.